Apple Spears Broadsides on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.4 FM. I'm your old background history. I'll be with you from 6 to 8 tonight on Free Radio Santa Cruz. We're going to be talking about the summer stuff, but the pictures from the news, city lights, here in Santa Cruz on the street. We have reports from City Council, from Prescott, Arizona. We'll be talking about middle exchange, the sleeping zone, our upcoming bank sleep tonight night, and tomorrow night, it's July 31st here in Santa Cruz. So stay with us. Got some music. Unfortunately, we don't have any calling line. Hopefully by tomorrow that will be remedied. This that's how the rumor goes. Stay tuned.
The fire, but we're stuck with it, and it's burning our asses. I'm your host, Bathroom Spear Robert, and got some interesting stuff today. We may even have a guest coming into the studio from City Council a couple of nights ago, Lisa of the Beach Flats, also concerned with upcoming elections. You may be aware, or perhaps not be aware, since it doesn't seem to have much impact on real issues. This is an election year in Santa Cruz. There are three city council seats up for election. I think it's three. It could be four, actually. In any case, we have the misfortune of losing Celia Scott, who so far has declined to announce she's running for re-election, in spite of my urging her to do that. And there are some candidates, however, that look bright and hopeful for the first time in years. These aren't sort of the anointed scam candidates that the old gang of hacks has put together, as has been the case in the past. Cynthia Matthews, Michael Hernandez, the crew of clowns and redeveloper sellouts that we currently have on the council. No, rather these are people who are kind of came up from the ranks through fighting just that kind of redevelopment, sell it out to Canfield mentality. People like, Chris Krohn of the Beach Flats Working Group. There are others as well, some of whose names I can't pronounce, but you can read about them in this week's Good Times, in the Bruce Bratton column. And it looks like we got a crop of people. Now, one particularly who's been on for a while, who's been announcing his candidacy and has kind of been with his hat in the ring, is Pat Clark. Pat is head of the local NAACP, a a preacher has acquired some notoriety or fame through opposing the hate crime situation, which I kind of have, to some extent, poo-pooed because I felt it's a sort of a diversion, a politically acceptable way of getting a lot of energy siphoned off in another direction rather than dealing with real institutional racism. But I'm not convinced that Pat isn't possibly a good bet in this upcoming election, if anybody is. Elections, of course, don't mean much at all unless there are activists on the streets, activists making choices every day, a day of their lives, as all of us do. Even if you don't think of yourself as an activist, every day you make choices that have political consequences. Every day you choose to raise your voice or to remain silent. Every day you choose to put your body and your heart and your money where your mouth is or where your heart is. And that can be hard. That has costs and consequences. So we're hoping that Lisa will come in and talk about Pat Clark and possibly some of the other candidates. We'll see if she shows up. We are kind of strapped today because we don't have the phone lines working. The bill, for some inexplicable reason, has not been paid, even though I know that we have gotten some cash to the coffers of those who are supposed to be paying it, so I encourage whoever's supposed to be paying that phone to pay up. That would be great. Perhaps there's some problem that I'm really not aware of. There's also a very good piece of news from the street. Those of you who frequent Pacific Avenue may be aware of a guy, Tom Connors, a street magician, also a former and possibly future radio personality, who plies his trade along Pacific Avenue in front of the Gap and sometimes in front of Woolworths. He's a prestidigitation expert, a magician. And he's been kind of getting a little bit of notoriety in the papers. The Metro and the Sentinel have done little pieces on him. Some would call them hit pieces, some would call them puff pieces, I guess a little of each. He did some entertaining at a police officer's roast. I think they were doing some kind of celebratory roast of one of their own Santa Cruz police officers, and apparently one of the cops got too drunk to believe, didn't like the fact that he was playing a couple of Sinatra songs in a row, and had him arrested for drunkenness and hauled off to jail and held there for 8 hours. This is the man they hired to do the music and the entertainment at this particular event. It's kind of preposterous. And of course the police side was discussed or presented by the Sentinel, or the Urinal as I call it, the Santa Cruz Sentinel or Urinal, in its typical fashion. But Tom's side, of course, didn't really get aired. Now, I think we did a little interview with Tom about 2 or 3 weeks ago about that. And I'm going to play for you now an interview we did recently about a much more important project that I think really deserves our attention, not the least because I'm contributing to it, and that's Tom's forthcoming street newspaper called Starstruck. For those of you who are hankering for that fine old street paper, the Street Shit Sheet, which is my old paper, 155 issues of which was published, and then it sort of disappeared last November without a trace. We're still waiting to see if I'm going to revive it or somebody else is going to revive it. But instead, we have Starstruck. And Starstruck is going to be covering issues on the street, taking stories from people who work and live and frequent the street scene. You can talk to Tom on the streets. As I said, he's often down in the evenings in front of the Gap or Woolworths, the old Woolworths, the Woolworths storefront. And you can submit stories to him. The first issue of this will be coming out in a couple of days and should be hitting the streets big time, talking a lot about the Santa Cruz sitting ban and laws that penalize people who are poor or who are street performers or who are homeless from being in public spaces. In essence, the whole downtown ordinance miasma that passed back in 1994, a kind of a tightening or institutionalization of an informal police process of harassment that had been going on and has been going on in Santa Cruz for years. Anyway, Starstruck is Tom's magazine, and I mentioned the incident with the police and Tom Connors, because we refer to it kind of obliquely, and I want you to know that's what's going on. That's going to be our first interview here on Free Radio, so let's hear it.
I'm here with the notorious street magician and entertainer of police officers, the vicious Tom Connors.
I would say a former entertainer of police officers. I'd be surprised if he took another gig.
About 5:15 on July 22nd. And the Sentinel, the Sentinel has attacked your reputation by claiming you betrayed the police traditions by boozing it up at a police rally.
Well, they were.
You accuse our police officers of drinking?
Well, they were doing it in a valid situation. It was a roast, after all, and they were hanging around there drinking and toasting their fellow officers. You know, so I have no objection to that sort of nonsense. You know, that's fine. You know, they do what they do.
Well, we actually talked to you about this on Free Radio about 2-3 weeks ago, and I was very surprised to see this article in the Sentinel denouncing you or making fun of you. Where do you think this article came from?
Well, it's hard to say. I understand, as far as I can tell, that the police officers in most communities, but most especially in Santa Cruz, you know, they'll stick together and they will say whatever it is that makes them look good. And of course, this was a sort of absurd event, you know, that had no basis, as far as I could tell, in reality. And as a result, they have to cover their butts, you know.
But there was no story that came out, you know, attacking the police or mocking them. Why should a story come out mocking or attacking them? True, we did a little blurb on Free Radio, but probably about 12 people heard that.
Well, either way, I'm glad that it was Free Radio, to be honest with you, because I trust the Free Radio listeners, you know, to be somewhat discreet. It is the case that I choose to live in this town. Should I want to file charges or go against the social order, this would cut into my livelihood severely. You know, I can imagine them coming out to my house and arresting me for having a milk crate or something to that effect.
Yeah, you know, a milk crate situation.
Anything can happen, you know, and so as a result, I choose to remain discreet in this particular case. Not something I would do if I actually felt that the jackboots were at the door, that I would probably be more forthcoming regarding how I would handle this affair.
Do you have any idea why the Sentinel took out after you? I mean, was this from a...
I have no idea about that. It occurs to me as a speculation, you know, that the police released this information in order to cover whatever possible civil action might, you know, ensue.
Really?
On the possibility that I did call, in fact, the following morning, threatening to file charges and trying to find out how to do so. Was given the cold shoulder on that one, not surprisingly so. So as a result, you know, I decided that, you know, based on the demographic in here in Santa Cruz and the way that the police handle their affairs, that it would be best for me to, you know, go ahead and act on my own behalf rather than act against them.
So here you are back on the streets in front of Woolworths doing your
same thing.
Infamous contested agitation.
Well, you're aware, of course, that I was written up twice in the Metro.
I noticed a more positive response to you. One person claimed that you were, in fact, a real entertainer, as distinguished from the vicious Phil Free, who they denounced as Mr. Noise.
I file a disclaimer on that one because I first of all did not say that Phil Free, you know, did any of that, and that was Kelly Luker's remarks. And as a matter of fact, I took issue with her regarding that matter on the telephone and said that I think that, you know, setting up street performers against each other is inappropriate and that, in fact, we should work together as a cooperative effort. Mm-hmm. In that regard, the following issue in the Metro carried a story regarding Starstruck, a small street journal that I intend to publish within the next 10 days and possibly 2 weeks, depending on circumstances. And this is a positive thing meant to bring people together, including the police department, as a matter of fact. Now, the beat cops...
But not too close together, lest they again throw you out a second time into the drunk tank.
Well, I doubt, I doubt strongly that will happen. And, you know, I do think that this should not be an adversarial interview, although you are creating it to be one. No, you know, I'm saying that I think that what the errors that the police department made were dramatic, they're unconstitutional, inappropriate, and, you know, I take strong issue with that. On the other hand, attacking the police as a whole is probably not the way to go, you know, as far as I'm personally concerned, you know. I mean, it's your show, you do as you please, but nevertheless, I try to make relationships with people as individuals and avoid characterizing them based on their demographic, if you will.
You only have an issue with the 12 or 15 or 20 officers
that
beat you up there.
There were actually 200 officers there.
Let us lift a glass and toast the police officers who were not there and did not inappropriately injure your reputation, throw you into the
booze crowd. They would have intervened in a situation, but no police officer did intervene in the situation. Therefore, my trust of the police department as a whole, I have to admit, is diminished considerably by this situation.
Well, how have the police been treating you on the streets? I assume you haven't suffered any repercussions.
That's fine. As a matter of fact, I still have a relationship with the beat cops, and of course, a lot of them weren't there. These were mostly lieutenants and things like that. You know, there was some
damn brass. Again.
Sergeant Vogel, as a matter of fact, was actually at the affair about 45 minutes prior to this event, and he dropped in and dropped out, and there didn't seem to be a problem, you know. So this is...
I've always liked Sergeant... Well, I've often liked Sergeant Vogel. Always a little strong, but... So tell us about Starstruck. How can individuals get on the street, get information to you about what they're doing? What is Starstruck?
Starstruck is a magazine, actually a small journal, in fact, very small, about 16 pages long, and we'll have photographs of street artists in it, presuming that Dr. Fixit, as I choose to fidget, rather, as I choose to call him, will come up heavy with his photos. But meanwhile, articles can be delivered to me on the street, pretty much in my usual spot here in front of Woolworths in downtown Santa Cruz.
And what time are you usually here?
I'm definitely here on Friday and Saturday nights from 7 until 11. That's always. And then other times it's haphazard. Otherwise...
For instance, we're here on a Wednesday, right?
Otherwise, variety of street artists, I think part of the process is that at least one or two of the street artists and or street people, in fact, that are hanging around here on Pacific Avenue, can talk to each other, because at least one of them will be able to get a hold of me, and that'll be a good thing. I choose at this particular stage of the game, as a result of recent difficulties, to not publish my phone number, but it is available on a card that is available from me and my usual spot. So,
But if you are a street artist and you want to get in touch with Tom, you could always leave a message with HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, my phone number, and I can pass on the information to Tom. Again, 423-4833. Or if you want to get Tom's number directly from him, you can, of course, can check him out on Fridays and Saturday nights down on Pacific Avenue in front of Woolworths, and other times as well. But if you call me at 423-HUF and you sound sincere and are not trying to hire him for some drunken police masquerade, I will, with his permission, give you his phone number.
That sounds just fine with me, Robert. I think you're doing a good job. You know,
I have to say the same, in spite of the adverse flack.
Well, thank you very much, sir. And I'm sure that if we all work together as a cooperative effort, once again, I reiterate that term, I think that we can all manage to forge a lifestyle here in Santa Cruz that will suit us all in spite of inappropriate police behavior.
Or the downtown ordinances, the downtown association, and the city council. I would hope so, yeah.
That reminds me, we will publish some Starstruck, as I say, within the next 10 days or 2 weeks at the outside, a copy of the municipal code, as we've sorted it out via computer, so that...
Sorted it is, no question about it.
Yeah, quite sorted, in fact. But nevertheless, there are very specific laws in it, and they can be conformed to, and you'll still be able to hang around on the street and do the things you want to do. It's just that a lot of times people don't recognize what their rights are, and I think that when this journal will assist them in that process.
Wow. Let's hope you do get the journal out shortly, and again, sounds like a very good thing. They have similar journals in Berkeley. The People's Bark should be coming out soon, they call it. They was called the Berkeley Bark until it became confused with a dog journal. But one would hope that it's a success. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Robert. It's a pleasure to talk to you always.
As always. Maybe you can tell us again, Tom, you've just said so, but repeat what kinds of articles you think you're looking for Street Starstruck.
Well, I'm really looking for articles that help people to understand what the nature of the streets of Santa Cruz, like the, anywhere from the development corporations and how that changes the character of the street, all the way down to, you know, the Vietnam veterans and the mentally disturbed, the homeless, you know, who are, you know, working towards, you know, a life they feel that they can live, at least, you know, without being continually harassed. And at the same time, you know, positive articles about how people do work together, you know, in order to accomplish this end. And, you know, trying to dispel dissension, but at the same time not shying away from, you know, controversies that can benefit everybody involved. You know, revolutions have always been started behind the juxtaposition of the very rich and the very poor, and that seems to be the case quite often in the streets of Santa Cruz. So, you know, as a result, I think
with rents as they are,
gap, you know, with the little bit of a middle class approach to the middle class that will assist them in the process of making a living, for instance, you know. It's like guys that, it's no different than the guys that drive pickup trucks than the people that do entertainment. It's hard work, and it's, you know, it's a tough life, and rents are high, and expenses are high, and benefits are low, wages are low. So that's pretty much exclusive to Santa Cruz. The rest of the country is doing well economically, and I suppose portions of Santa Cruz are. I leave it at that.
Send your articles to Starstruck. Again, do you have any address people can send them to?
You can certainly send the address to 111... B Green Street in Santa Cruz.
111 B Green Street, Starstruck, or to which
Starstruck, address to you? Address to Starstruck, right, directly. Okay. And that will be 95060.
Okay.
There will be an address, of course, in the magazine itself when it comes out, which will, as I hope, 10 days, but possibly 2 weeks. And we've got most of everything we need.
It'll be a bi-monthly, monthly,
well, we hope we
hourly.
We thought we, yeah, hourly would be interesting. Yeah, since things do happen fast here in Santa Cruz.
Right.
Nevertheless, we were planned initially on a weekly. I think that we're going to open with a bi-monthly. That'll be every other week to start with, and then we'll build it up as the information becomes available to us and the resources as well.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you, Tom. Connor.
Connors.
Connors. Not, but it's only one man. Thank you.
I wouldn't do that for regular radio.
Hello.
And that was indeed Tom Connors, editor of Starstruck, entertainer of drunken police officers, and street prestidigitation expert. You can find him down on Pacific Avenue, Friday and Saturday nights, 7 to 10. And sometimes you can find him down on other nights, particularly when there's lots of folks out, as there was, for example, last night. If you want to get his address, which I myself have forgotten, even though I just heard it on the tape, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. I will give it to you and pass on anything you need to pass information to him. I'll have him give you a call, and possibly we can hook folks up to Starstruck. And keep your eyes out for that newspaper, magazine, newsletter. I'm not quite sure exactly what kind of paper it's going to be printed on, but it's coming out in a day or two, according to Tom. And I think, unlike the Lighthouse Press, which was sort of much ado about nothing a couple months ago, this is really going to happen. It's not going to be as big or as fancy or as well-funded, but it's actually going to happen, which I think is the key thing. Starstruck, edited by Tom Connors. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM.
Well, me and my friends, we shop downtown, and sometimes we just hang around. But when we get tired and we want to sit, the cops say get up and move it. 'Cause there's no sitting in the city of Santa Cruz, with its redwood trees and its ocean views. It's the home of surfers and sight gurus, but there ain't no sitting in Santa Cruz. Now you better watch out where you set your tail, or you might spend 6 months sitting in jail. If you bum spare change, you might pay a fine, 'cause being poor is now a crime. No sitting in the city of Santa Cruz, with its redwood trees and its ocean views. It's the home of surfers and sight gurus, but there ain't no sitting in Santa Cruz. You're breaking the law if you try to sit, but we're not gonna stand for it. This sitting law didn't get my vote, so we're gonna sit down and rock the boat. No sitting in the city of Santa Cruz, with its redwood trees and its ocean views. It's the home of surfers and sight gurus, but there ain't no sitting in Santa Cruz. No sitting in the city of Santa Cruz, with its redwood trees and its ocean views. It's the home of surfers and sight gurus, but there ain't no sitting in Santa Cruz. There ain't no sitting in Santa Cruz. Ain't no sitting in Santa Cruz.
We're talking to
Chris.
Chris, you're playing the guitar here at Woolworths, but you say something rather serious has happened.
Yeah, they put a boot on my motorhome, and if I don't pay $220 by Monday, they're going to impound it. So
because of tickets, or?
For unpaid parking violations, yeah, seven of them. I think I got seven.
And motorhome is your home.
Right, so I'm now rendered homeless and vehicle-less until they get their $220.
So how long have you been living in Santa Cruz?
About 8 months.
And how many tickets have you picked up here on the cruise?
Actually, about seven or eight. That's all the tickets I have, and they're starting from June, so they're a month old.
So you're out here trying to save your home here as you play guitar?
Yeah.
Anything you want to tell the Free Radio Santa Cruz audience other than this?
Well, of course, as everybody knows, don't let those tickets slide, man, because they'll take it. And they don't care if it makes you homeless or not, you know. If you don't pay, they'll put you on the streets. They got it booted in the city, so I can't sleep in it either. So I went from being pretty much independent of the system to being basically under their thumb pretty tight.
Well, illegal every night, I would imagine, because you can't sleep discreetly in a vehicle in somebody's backyard. You have to sleep illegally outside.
Yeah, so if you come to Santa Cruz between now and Monday, and you see me playing my guitar in front of the bookshop,
or 20 here, in his,
I'm trying to raise $200. I'll probably make it, but I'll tell you what, if I don't pay this thing, I'm in trouble.
That plea calls for another dollar, man.
I mean, I wouldn't I don't like asking people for nothing. I work for it, you know? But if you see it,
they're pulling out their wallets here.
Yeah.
I'm going to be anywhere. The man's got a wife, got a baby, got a family.
Fortunately, there's a shelter, and my wife is staying at the shelter with our baby until I get this straightened out. At least, and then we'll have that back straight again. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Anything else? Just my name's Christopher, and take care.
Well, we're talking to Bruce the Stick Man. Bruce, you're a man of the streets and of Santa Cruz, and you had a problem some while back with the officer...
Richards.
And that involved whether he dragged you to the ground and...
No, basically, as far as, you know, I mean, we could go here, there, and everybody else's conception, but there's only three people that witnessed what happened. That was myself, Jeff Stewart, and Officer Richards. And Officer Richards, as far as I'm concerned, attacked me.
And this is the same incident in which he drew his gun, right?
Right.
After you were on the ground. And
right, right, right. After I said, hey, man, this guy's out of line, well, I just subdued. Mm-hmm. All right? I've been convicted of a crime of interfering with a police officer in drunk in public, which I was neither as far as I'm concerned. Nobody can prove the difference. But I've been convicted by a jury, and I accept that.
And there were 12 people that convicted you?
Right, right. Well, there was a certain picture that, out of all the pictures that they took of me as they took me into the police department and talked to me as Officer Richards tried to throw me in a chair at that time as I was handcuffed. But the picture was a very candid picture. It showed me with my hair hanging over my face and sticking my tongue out because I was tired of taking these pictures. And it didn't show the mark on my face because my hair was hanging over it. It wasn't a family photograph. If it was, I would have had my hands handcuffed, combed my hair, and looked straight. You know, but unfortunately, it was not that. I was smashed my face in the ground, and that's pretty messed up. But that's okay. The thing is that you know, I'm not one to snivel. I'm not one to cry. I just look for liberty and justice. And
now, what did you get as a sentence for this?
I have not been sentenced yet.
Are you going to accept probation?
I'll accept what the court gives me. I have no other choice.
No, you can refuse probation and take jail instead. That's a choice here.
Well, you know what? The last thing I want to be is incarcerated. I'm a free spirit. I'm
a free being.
That. You know, I don't need to be in the white man's cage. Excuse that expression.
Right. Well, the only reason to do it is if you get on probation, then they can easily incarcerate you for a longer period than they would have otherwise been able to, simply by stopping you.
You know what? Simply by stopping this whole situation, is the officer made an allegation that I'm a public nuisance, that I'm a habitually drunk, and that the police department receives complaints daily about me. And I've gone around the community, and from the business to the people that patrol the streets and everything else, and asked for these people to give me letters of saying what they see in me. And not what this officer sees. So this officer is recommending to the court that I stay out Pacific Garden Mall for the rest of my life. And this is my hometown.
This is Officer Richards?
Yeah, this is Officer Richards. I don't know where the hell he's from. You know, I could care less because where he's from, he needs to grow up.
I also hear Officer Evelyn has drawn a gun recently in the mall. Have you heard anything about this?
No, I didn't hear about that, but he did testify in my trial. All right, apparently he was probably that big fat knee that was on my head that was smashing my face into the concrete. I don't know. See, I could not see things, but he was there at the trial, and he testified to whatever was going on. Every time I brought a witness to my character, the DA showed down. But one good thing about this case is that Commissioner Salazar, I think he's a fair, just man. I've watched him throughout this trial. And when it came to the day that I was supposed to be sentenced and the recommendation from Officer Richards, Commissioner Salazar told the DA, come back with some foundation. All you're giving me is allegation. The man has not been arrested since 1984, and you're telling me he's a daily problem to you. He has no citation to arrest. So now I have a stay of sentencing to 31st of July.
How long did the trial take?
Anyway, it took a little while. And I appreciate the jury. The jury did look into the case. I believe they looked into the case, and we just did not present the right case. I don't
know.
Who
was your public defender?
He was Vance.
Vance was his last name?
Ben Vance.
And how many witnesses did you present?
I was not able to present any.
Why not?
Because the DA was always coming up. They discredited my witnesses because they were people of the streets. You know, the eyewitness that saw it has been convicted of the same crime before. See?
Yeah, but you could still have him testify on your behalf. Well, they wouldn't allow you to testify?
Yeah, they discredited him.
Well, you mean he was testified, but then he was discredited, or?
Yeah.
But he did testify.
Exactly. He did testify.
How many people testified for you?
One.
What was his name?
Jeffrey Stewart.
That's right.
I had other people that were there. I talked to them and asked them to speak the truth of what happened, and they were too scared of persecution from the police department to speak up. They figured it would come back on them. So, you know, I forgive them. It's no problem.
So this is an infraction and a misdemeanor you've been convicted of?
This is a misdemeanor.
I know that interfering with an officer is a misdemeanor.
Pardon?
Interfering is a misdemeanor, but, right. But drunk in public is an infraction, right?
No, I have no idea. I'm not that acquittal.
So you can face up to a year in jail and $5,000.
Well, the DA is recommending 30 days in jail, in 3 years probation, and a stay of order to stay off Pacific Garden Mall.
Right.
So I can do the 30 days in jail. I can do the 3 years of probation. I'm not the criminal. I'm not their enemy. But to stay off the mall, well, that's taking my life away from me. My total life away from me.
Yeah, I don't think you have to accept probation if you take jail instead.
No, it doesn't matter, Robert. It does not matter.
I do encourage people to do it because they get screwed later, is my concern. But anyway, I wish you luck on this, Bruce.
You know, if I fear probation, I must be a criminal. I have no fear of probation because I'm not a criminal.
No, I fear probation and I'm not a criminal because I know that police can stop you for nothing at all and violate your probation. I know that's what they can do.
Police stop me for nothing at all and violate.
You got a jury trial first.
If they violate my rights.
You're on probation, you don't get no jury trial.
They infringe upon every human being rights out here.
That's true. Well, I wish you luck, Bruce.
Okay.
Give them hell, man.
No, I'm not going to give them hell. I'm going to give them truth.
That'll be good. Thank you.
And that was a conversation with Stickman Bruce, man who makes beautiful carved sticks. You can often see him near the coffee roasting company, up the street a bit, near the candy shop. And apparently he's going to court, Salazar's court, Department 2, tomorrow. I'm not quite clear if it's at 8:30 or at 10 for anyone who wants to follow his case, but if you happen to be down there, you might want to check it out. 8:30 or 10 o'clock in the morning, Department 2, that's Stickman Bruce, facing apparently a significant stay-away order and a long period of probation. We're essentially talking back to a police officer, Officer Richards, who then drew his gun, not on Bruce, but on a street musician, Bam Bam, as he's colloquially known. Bam Bam is not known for that name for any kind of violent activity because he is a drummer. And the police officer involved, Officer Richards, apparently became alarmed that there was a crowd around him, so he drew his gun. A significant action considering the kind of police violence, fatal violence in the case of some, like Happy John Dine, that we've seen in downtown Santa Cruz, and most important, violence that has not been redressed, violence that we have not been able to get independent hearing or investigation of, violence that goes unanswered, violence that remains as a blemish, as a sore, as a sort of a festering wound on the body politic, and of course a bloody wound on the body of the dead man, Happy John Dine. Tomorrow that's happening in Department 2, this case of Bruce and his sentencing. Sounds like he accepted a court trial rather than a jury trial, though it's not entirely clear from that tape. There's also another situation coming up tomorrow. You may remember, those of you who have been following Bathrop Spears Broadsides, the show you're listening to on 96.3 FM, the station you're tuned to. Chris Brozda is a homeless activist and a homeless man, and I must say, sometime wingnut. He goes off at times. But generally, I would say,
not a violent individual, at least not recently. We all have our moments, and he's had some unfortunate ones. But he was arrested for essentially, again, talking back to an officer. And that should not be any arrestable offense. Our officers here in Santa Cruz need to be mature enough, need to have enough respect for the First Amendment, need to have enough understanding of people who are troubled, who are homeless, who are living outside, to be able to ignore personal slights. And more than that, in this particular case, Brazda, a man who lives in his vehicle, was harassed from Marini's Candies, where he had purchased something, was trying to sit there and eat in a relaxed position with his radio, apparently. And he was, for some reason, and again, the management wouldn't make it clear to me, considered to be inappropriate, but they wouldn't say why or what it was. And he then left when the police came, went next door to the coffee roasting company, and in his frustration said to one of the officers, "I really wish we could have some kind of a fair fight. You know, maybe we could charge money and have a boxing match or something to that effect." And the police officer handcuffed him, arrested him, and he's been in jail for a month for that comment because he is on a probation. And as I was saying before to Bruce on the streets, when you accept probation, merely an accusation by a police officer becomes sufficient to hold you in jail without bail. Merely an accusation from a police officer can be enough at a hearing to have you convicted, because you no longer have a right to a jury trial on crimes. You simply get a right to a trial before a judge, which is often a cursory or quick procedure. Anyway, Chris Brazda comes to court tomorrow, and I believe it's at 8:30 in the morning. Well, we've had some, again, more confusion about this. It could be 8:30, it could be 10, or it could be 1:30. And the question is going to be a temporary conservatorship, because the authorities want to make Brazda take medication. Brazda, who's trying to conduct his own defense, does not want to take medication because he feels it will cloud his mind. And I think this is really a very essential right. Unless someone is suicidal or homicidal or extremely gravely disabled, and Brazda is none of the three, they should not be forced to take medication. But this temporary conservatorship that they're trying to put him under will put him in a position where they can shoot him up with debilitating, mind-destroying, actually physically destructive drugs like Haldol that produce the tardive dyskinesia syndrome, which you see in so many victims of the psychiatric system. Again, this is happening in court tomorrow, and I think it's at 1:30, but his father thinks it's at 8:30, so it's a little confusing as to when it actually is happening, and I'll be reporting on it on Sunday. But if you want to call me, I'll try to give you more information. And if you have any questions about anything you've heard on this show, or you want to get involved personally in any kind of support for folks you hear who you think are being harassed, or tell your own story. To those of us out here in the audience who want to know what's going on, give a call to 423-4833, or 423-HUFF for short, HUFF being the acronym for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the organization that I work for. Well, City Council had its last meeting of the summer on Tuesday. There'll be no City Council meetings throughout August, although I believe there will be Planning Commission meetings having to do with the Beach Flats giveaway and the usual rush agenda, rush process, rush to judgment that the five votes on the City Council that wants this Canfield Company giveaway done, sealed, and delivered has set up. It's the fast track, which will essentially avoid public comment and indeed avoid any kind of education among the Latino community, since there's been no significant Spanish translation or discussion of this. Even though the Beach Flats is largely Hispanic, many of the people being displaced are Hispanic. And one would think that Councilmember Hernandez, supposedly the Hispanic friend on the City Council, would have something to say about this, but no, his response is that it's all been resolved and his big brothers, Rotkin and Kennedy, know what's best. Anyway, I made a speech yesterday at City Council, which was cut back because there were so many people talking, and eloquently talking, about the Beach Flats. Speeches that I'm not going to replay partially because my recording ain't so good, but also because I'd rather get someone in here who can summarize it more articulately and more concisely, and I will get someone in here. In fact, I'm going to be talking a bit about the Beach Flats later in the show, and I'm hoping that Lisa shows up to talk some about that. But I gave this speech Tuesday night at City Council. This is the extended version of the speech that I was unable to give because I wasn't given enough time. Actually, Celia Scott, the mayor, was very generous in responding to a note I sent up to the front requesting that I and four other speakers be allowed a little more time to speak in oral communications, and that was allowed, although Scott Kennedy attempted to move that only those speakers who were standing in line be allowed to speak, even though it was clearly I was one of the speakers and I was on the other side of the room. I hustled across the room to be able to speak and was allowed to speak. So thank you, City Council, for giving each of the public 2 minutes to speak. That was the extended time. This was the speech I would have given had I had more time, and much of which I did give at City Council on July 28th. It's called City Council, Bit Players and Chief Belcher's Ballgame. On the recommendation of our police department, this city council has made it criminal for young people to be out after 11 at night, a city curfew that Oakland and San Francisco have rejected. Our police department moved you to make it a $162 crime to be anywhere along the San Lorenzo River after dark, a general curfew along the riverbanks that now shrouds police misconduct there in darkness in our city's own little dirty drug prohibition war. Our police department has created a rift in the community of peacemakers by sending armed cops into the Resource Center for Nonviolence and funding a snitch central there, not without the help of Councilmember Scott Kennedy and his protege Eric Larson. Now, new mischief is afoot. The Santa Cruz Cannabis Buyers Club is closed. That leaves WAM, Women and Men's Alliance for Medical Marijuana, as the only place poor people can go to get marijuana as medicine. They are the courageous care providers risking their asses as DEA gumshoes and Lundgren's Gestapo steal medicine from people with AIDS and others suffering debilitating illnesses. The voters of this county and this state have spoken on this issue in Proposition 215, but that is not good enough for our own police chief, Steve Belcher. There was to have been an item on Tuesday's agenda deputizing WAM care providers to protect them from attack here in Santa Cruz, from the kind of police prosecution and persecution that Dennis Perone and Peter Baez are facing in San Francisco and San Jose for making medical marijuana available to those who need it at cannabis clubs in those two cities. I was happy to hear this measure was on the agenda. I came prepared to praise council members, people usually interested in aggrandizing police power and abetting developers with schemes to sell off the homeless garden property and the beach flats to Canfield Seaside Company, to name only two such brilliant plans. But alas, it's turned out to be business as usual. That item was gone, under pressure, I am told, from Police Chief Steve Belcher. Just how far does Belcher's edict extend? Instead of an emergency ordinance protecting the sick, City Council has pulled that item from the agenda, leaving our weakest defenseless for the next 6 weeks. This is a fatal form of cowardice. It abets right-wing sadism. It is unworthy. It is unwise. It is not surprising to find bigotry and conflict of interest in so corruption-ridden an area as the war against marijuana. Federal and state blood money funds Belcher's Boys in Blue and their toys and pads his budget. But imperiling those struggling with life-threatening illnesses is a sight to sicken even those of us with cast-iron stomachs, even hardened cynics like myself, who have watched this obscenity for four decades. Perhaps Belcher should be directing his real attention to book burners in his own department, like Sergeant Colleen McMahon and Public Health Czar Betsy McCarty, who have set themselves up as inquisitors and censors. I am informed that these two have banned distribution of vital needle exchange literature, Addicts Advice to Addicts. They are pressuring needle exchange workers with increased surveillance and writing down license numbers, threatening arrests. Needle exchanges, needle exchange volunteers save lives. by talking to addicts in their own language with their own literature about the hazards of dirty needles. Now, the Republican right wing has turned gays into a national scapegoat. Perhaps Belcher and his business community buddies intend the same kind of scapegoating process with addicted young people here in Santa Cruz. Are we to watch AIDS, hepatitis, and other devastating diseases roll unchecked through our community to pander to the prejudices of those who equate ignorance with virtue and silence with wisdom? Is McMahon, the sergeant who is suppressing this literature, a rogue cop operating on her own? Does she have Belcher's blessing? Are city council members privy to this latest head-in-the-sand insanity? Is this part of the Downtown Association's new power play to divide needle exchange from the drop-in center and drive the drop-in center out of town, in a broader plan to caramelize Pacific and Front Streets? Is anyone on this council watching? Is anyone willing to speak out? Just exactly who is in charge here? Should Officer Mark Eveleth be giving out parking tickets at unexpired meters to drive Feed the People away on Monday and Tuesday afternoon feedings when it gives out peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to the hungry in front of Double Rainbow? Eveleth has seemingly sworn war against homeless activist Sean Alimi and is determined to drive Feed the People out of town. Should Lieutenant Larson be told to stop covering for his buddies and the Seaside Company security squads in the matter of the five-month freezing of an investigation into the case of Shaz Rydstead, brutally attacked and injured by Canfield's goons? Meanwhile, that police-loving puppy dog, the Citizens Police Review Board, still refuses to investigate the discrepancies between their own conclusions in the Happy John Dine bushwhacking and those of Police Chief Belcher. Perhaps when Button Street victim Brian Andrus wins a chunk of change, his claim against the city was on the Tuesday agenda, then Belcher's blue shirts, the ones who blasted him with five bullets on Button Street last March, will finally be told to turn in their badges. And that was a speech I gave at City Council on Tuesday night called City Council Bit Players in Chief Belcher's Ball Game. It was, of course, a series of criticisms of particular actions by particular police officers, focusing on two actions. One, the action by Chief Belcher, apparently, to pressure this measure off the City Council agenda that could have been an emergency ordinance protecting medical marijuana distribution by the local WAM organization. That's Women and Men's Alliance for Medical Marijuana. And secondly, the attack by Sergeant Colleen McMahon,